Hello, podcast world. Every once in a while, I'm just not going to open it with a welcome to the podcast or something. I'm going to change it up. No, I'm not. I'm probably totally going to go into default mode next week when I'm doing an introduction. Anyways, this has nothing to do with the introduction. Today's guest, it's her second time on the podcast. A lot of you will already be following her on Instagram. Her Instagram page is OFitness. Siobhan O'Hagan. So Siobhan O'Hagan is an online coach, fitness influencer, and world traveler. Her first appearance on the podcast was back in March of last year, so March of 2018. It was episode 135, Siobhan O'Hagan on living a life of freedom, avoiding fad diets, and how putting accountability photos on Instagram changed her life. So if you haven't listened to that, I would highly recommend it after this episode. I've linked it in the show notes on the website on briankeenfitness.com, so you can check it out on there. Today's episode, this was one that I'm like, fuck, I wish we went longer. So I was in Dublin last week. We literally just recorded this a couple of days ago. I was in Dublin last week for appearances where I was on different podcasts and I was recording a couple of episodes for my podcast, one of which was with Siobhan. And I rented out, we had a studio in Tall Tales. They're amazing in Dublin 8. I'm 100% going using them again next time I'm in Dublin. But we only had about 50, 55 minutes for this interview. So it's a little bit shorter than I actually would have planned to go just because of time constraints. So if and hopefully when we do a part 3, we'll probably go longer. Because Siobhan is one of those people, because she's got so many different topics that she can talk so well on, I'm like, fuck, I would have gone another 20 minutes on this one. So we covered a lot of things in the 50 to 55 minutes. But next time, I think we're definitely going to go a little bit longer on it. Some of the things we talked about, relationships with food. So what I love about Siobhan's message at the minute is she's very much someone who's found herself over the last year. You know, the first discussion we had, or the first time we talked about coming back on the podcast for a second time, she's like, I'm a bit completely different from what I was, you know, in March of last year. And you can tell that from her content. I know it from speaking to her directly, because she's traveled so much and kind of really try to figure out, is the fitness identity the thing that she wants to be attached to, or does she just want to really have kind of focus on self-love and make sure she loves herself regardless of what she looks like? So there's so much value in her approach to what she did. Now, not everybody's going to be able to pick up and leave and travel the world, as she mentions, but there are some daily tips, techniques, and tools that you could apply, both genders effectively, if you're struggling with an area of your life, you know, that you're not feeling particularly secure in. So in today's episode, we jumped from everything weight loss, food and training, playing around with a vegan lifestyle, which has now translated into a more vegetarian style lifestyle, but not being attached to either, to disconnecting from ego, building self-awareness and finding self-love. So we jump back and forth. What I love about these kind of episodes is that it goes up and down depending on the depth of conversation. We talk everything from the training and nutrition and identity with certain foods and relationship with that to, right, do I have a problem with my ego? Do I need to be more self-aware? Do I need to disconnect myself from all the identity of who everybody thinks I should be and just find myself? And there's extreme value in Siobhan's process for doing that. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode, her second appearance on the podcast, the one and only Siobhan O'Hagan. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am delighted to bring my guest on today for round two. Highly requested round two, Siobhan O'Hagan. How's everything been?
Great. Thanks for having me back.
We're both out of breath because we're sitting here in a studio in Dublin 8, in Tall Tales in Dublin 8, and we're after running up the stairs. So we're both like...
Yeah, the old Georgian building.
Getting the cardio in.
No, I'm fit. Like, I'm not breathing heavy.
Oh, well, that's one of us. Siobhan, for everybody that is new to the podcast, because it was episode 138, I mentioned it in the introduction, that you were on, which was ages ago. It felt like a different world ago. Tell everybody listening who may not be familiar with you or following your Instagram. If you're not, you should be. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Oh, this is the big thing. I'm like, I don't even know anymore.
What do you do? Famous question.
I mean, I do online fitness coaching, but I... now I'm kind of nearly more focused on happiness. So I don't know if that's a great introduction to go with, but you know, I feel like I'm doing really well helping women get in shape and helping them with their relationships with their bodies. And now I just want everyone to be like happy in their mind. So I'm going to start a degree in psychology next. I'm just still sharing what I'm up to on Instagram every day, and people still seem to be interested. And I just travel as much as I can while I work. So I am of no fixed abode. I'm in Dublin for a couple of weeks, and then going to Bali, and then I don't know. So I just kind of live day to day, but I don't know. Where do we want to go with that?
I don't know where that question is. I still need to nail that down.
What do you do?
I hate that question too. Like, I get it every podcast introduction. It's like, who are you? What do you do? I'm like, oh, okay. Where do we start with this? Tell everybody that's been listening to part one, what's changed the most over the last, it's been about a year and a half, I think, since we did the first episode.
Big change is that I was sitting in a bikini the last time we did it.
Now today.
I'm like wrapped up. I remember I didn't even realize you were recording video, and I was like, oh, we're on video.
Yeah, we've no video today, just audio. We're good. We're coming.
This time last year I was in Thailand and I was training hard, and I suppose the biggest journey I've been on since then was learning how to love myself again after the bikini competition. And that's, I think, a lot of people want to talk to me about, because it's a thing that a lot of women struggle with, is obviously, body image and feeling the need to be dieting, and, you know, that kind of battle with what you want to do versus what you should be doing. I've just been kind of just training myself, working, you know, the work's going really well. Like, I'm helping people. I feel really content with everything right now, which is kind of scary. So I'm like, I feel like I should be like, okay, what's next though?
I'm really curious, because we are very kind of similar personality types. I know we connect a lot on the, you know, the go, go, go as a default, you know, in terms of like set the goal, hit the next thing. What am I going to do next? You know, and over the last, even from your content, over the last 6 months, especially the last 6-8 months, you see this contentness flowing through even your content.
Yeah.
What have you done differently, or what has changed?
I've just stopped caring so much. I think I've stopped, especially having the label of fitness. I always felt like, okay, if I don't have definition on my stomach, you know, I'm failing at me, at, you know, what I should be. And I think it was when I went to Bali this year, I just decided to stop counting calories, stop weighing myself, stop measuring myself. And I'd say I probably got in the best shape that I've been in a long time. But I don't even know if it was the best shape, but it was just, I definitely felt the happiest I'd been with my body and everything. And I think it was because, you know, it just, everything levels itself out. Like, I feel like the body is, you know, there is that homeostasis point where you're just at your best, you know, like if you're training well and you're showing a little bit of discipline, but you're also, you know, having ice cream when you want, you end up like not wanting ice cream all the time. You know, that's something I've definitely observed in me and clients. You know, that any kind of restriction does lead. I mean, I think everyone knows that restriction leads to building, but I've just noticed it so much. Even at Easter there, I'm going off on so many tangents.
Yeah, go for it.
You know, at Easter, I had just flown home that weekend, and, you know, of course, I came home to Easter egg for my mom, was eating chocolate all day. And the next day, like normally when I see chocolate, I'm like, oh my God, I'd love some. But the next day, I remember there was chocolate being offered, and I was like, no, like, I don't want any. And it's because obviously I've had some, but I think if we just not eat like we do on Easter, but eat, you know, a little bit of everything, there's not this kind of big, strong urge from any temptation. And I think that's what I did in Bali. I just had whatever I wanted, and I had a little bit of it, and I was happy, and I moved on. And it wasn't a case where I had to eat everything because it was a fresh start tomorrow, or it was just like, yeah, I'll have a bit of ice cream. And I was training anyway. Like, I was training so much, it was fine. You know, like, I could literally, yeah. It was difficult to eat enough calories.
Do you still track calories? Is that still something you
no,
do?
No, well, actually, I do when I'm home. But I've become, I have a different relationship to even counting calories now. Like, it's kind of, I like to, like, I don't know how many times I'm going to mention chocolate or ice cream, but like, I love chocolate and ice cream.
Yeah,
so if I can get to my goals, like, at the moment, I'm kind of like, I've had a couple of weeks of being injured and moving around a lot, so training's been really inconsistent. I've put on a couple of kilos, and I'm not in a place where I'm like, okay, I have to lose it. It's just, I don't know, I enjoy the it's kind of like self-improvement process of just like sticking to your calories for a day, training and feeling the results of it. So I do, I'm kind of back counting calories now, but it's very rough and it's, you know, if I do, if I have 3,000 calories a day, I'm not, I'm like, that's fine. It's like, I track it, I'm aware of it. I think awareness with anything is the key to, you know, making changes, you know. So I'm aware of what I'm having, I'm aware of what I'm doing. I'm not feeling guilty about it. I'm not stressing about it. I just move on. And I'm less like worried. I used to, you know, worry about carbs and fats and everything. And now I'm just stick to your calories, get your protein as high as you can and have fun.
You mentioned there guilt around food, which is a topic I'm really interested in because I know a lot of people suffer with it or struggle with it. And I know it's something you've had, you know, we talked about even before on air earlier, you know, guilt around food. How did you go from the traditional, oh, I've eaten that crap, I shouldn't have eaten that, guilt feeling or whatever your inner self-talk is, to where you are now? What was that kind of process like? Was it, what triggered or was the catalyst for, okay, you know, I'm not going to be guilty anymore? Was it gradual or was it like an instant moment? What did it look like?
I think, I have, you know, a degree in maths. I like to bring that up because it's the only time I get to use it. But I actually think sometimes looking at numbers makes you realise that it's actually not that bad. So, like, say you did have a blowout. Like, say, like on Monday, I had like 3,000 calories. By actually averaging that out across the week, you know, I might have only gone 100 calories over every day. Or, you know, like I'd say over, I don't know exactly, but I'd say I've probably averaged in the last week maybe 2,500 calories a day, yet I'm lighter today. So I think by actually measuring myself, you know, which, you know, there's arguments obviously for not weighing yourself, and if you're very attached to it, I would advise not to. But by me looking at the numbers and realising that, you know, it's actually not that bad. You know, like that blowout I had, that night out I had on Friday, and I don't know, the dinner with my parents on Monday, you know, it all just, it balances out. I'm still in a deficit because I'm, you know, I'm lighter and measurements have gone down. And it just made me realise, like, God, I would have, if I hadn't taken measurements and stuff, I probably would have felt guiltier.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I would have felt like I shouldn't have done
tracking
that.
Tracking actually makes you, and understanding the numbers makes you feel less guilty.
Yeah. Now, again, it depends on what people are like. You know, I don't think tracking's for everyone because you can get very obsessive about it. And I have been that there myself. You know, like people, you know, and it's, again, I always say the middle way. I think it's all the Buddhism and Hinduism that I've gone through it in Asia. But I've realised that the middle way is just the way to everything. So like, it's like, yes, there is argument for counting macros and there is things to be gained from it. There's also a lot to be gained from intuitive eating. I've done it. I see the benefits of that. And I think I've kind of just hybrided myself now at the moment. Like I don't cook. Like I've just like, I've given up pretending that I can cook. Like, I feel like just as soon as you start a fitness account, you all of a sudden have to be like this amazing chef, you know, is able to put up all these macro friendly meals. Yeah. So realistically, you know, with time and time and money is important to me. So like it's for me, it's easier to just eat out. So I am counting calories, but people are like, how do you do that if you eat out for every meal?
Yeah.
Now, I made eggs and toast this morning, every meal, but I mean, I think people see, I think eating out isn't possible when you're counting macros. Whereas I just roughly estimate, like, as I said, 3,000 calories on Monday, but that's three meals that I just guessed.
Yeah.
But I do think consistency in the long run over perfection. I think being consistent rather than saying, oh, I can't go out for a meal. And then when I do go out for a meal, it means I have to blow out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been like, yeah, if I'm 100 calories wrong, up or down, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're just doing that consistently.
I've seen, you know, we talked about this earlier, just before we went on air, that, and you've mentioned it there again, about taking the kind of the long-term view, you know, it's like, well, it'll all even out over time, you know, and I think that approach, that kind of, you know, 35,000 wide angle view, looking down and going, well, yeah, you went over by 1,000 calories today, in the greater scheme of the week or the month, that's actually going to balance out and you'll be fine, you know, as long as you're consistently not going into 5,000 calorie surplus every day. You know, do you put some of that down to the fact of spending time in Asia? Because that's a very, you know, suffering comes from attachment, Buddha, you know, sit in the middle, take the long approach, disconnect yourself from it. Is that from being in Asia that you think that's
been? I mean, yeah, Asia changed me. I feel like I come home and I was like, okay, now I just want to do yoga and be a life coach. But I do find that one of the biggest things in Asia is that I said the food culture is different. You know, there's not protein bars looking at you at every till where you think, oh, I'm being healthy, I'll have a protein bar. You know, like I didn't really snack that much. I didn't have a kitchen, so I didn't have cupboards of peanut butter and stuff. So I was actually just going out and having three big tasty meals that were healthy. They're like full of vegetables, feeling satisfied, not feeling like I was dieting.
Yeah.
And then naturally I was eating big meals, not snacking, in a deficit, not feeling like I was dieting, and it balances out. So then if I did have a pizza one night, it wasn't like, okay, diet starts tomorrow. I just went back to my three meals, maybe some snacks, maybe an ice cream. And then I'd kind of have a look, like I might even feel myself, you know, you're like, oh, I'll probably put on a couple of pounds this week without measuring it. I'd be like, oh, I might just have, you know, an apple instead of the Magnum tomorrow. Yeah. And it's common sense. And I think a lot of people don't even use their common sense when it comes to dieting. They want like a quick fix. And I said, in the long run, it will balance out if you're being just conscious about it.
Yeah, making consistent good choices. Yeah. You know, we spoke the first time about all the fad diets you'd follow to lose weight initially until it rebounded back, obviously. And then you found a more sustainable approach. What's changed most about your diet over the last year and a half or so? Apart from that, are you still doing the vegetarian style?
I mean, Magnums. Oh yeah, and that. Yeah, yeah, see, I actually forget about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I decided, it was actually in January. It's funny because, like, I'm sponsored by My Protein, and they asked me, like, do you want to do Veganuary or whatever?
Veganuary.
And I was like, no. I was like, no, I don't. I was like, find someone else. And I was like, I'm sponsored. I actually use the excuse, like, I'm sponsored by butchers. I can't, like, you know, vegetarians. I was like, I can't. But then, I don't know, like, again, the whole, like, looking at Buddhism and looking at altruism, and I kind of was, and obviously, the environment, like, being in Bali, it's very hard to ignore it. Like, you can't get, like, a piece of paper in Bali. You can't get a paper straw, or even paper straws are hard to find. It's all, like, there's no plastic because you see the plastic coming up on the beach. Yeah. So it's just really, really, everyone's very environmentally friendly or aware, sorry. Yeah. And then, I don't know, I think it was on the plane to Thailand at one time. I watched Cowspiracy, and I just hate being that person who's like, well, did you see the Netflix documentary? Because I was like, I don't want to be that person. But so I watched it, and then I talked to a friend of mine who was vegan. I was like, I'm actually considering going vegan. Like, this is a big thing for me. And I said, I'm obviously not going to say anything online because it's nothing to do with, like, it wasn't for it was nothing to do with my diet, you know, it was nothing to do with.
And it can get linked in with that.
Yeah, and like I didn't want people to think I was doing it as a weight loss thing.
Then
I watched, like, I can't remember, something else that, you know, I was like, oh God, maybe I do really, because for me initially it wasn't like for the animals, it was for the environment. And then I watched something else and I was like, God, it kind of shook me and I was like, right, I'm doing it, I'm going vegan. I said, I won't say anything to anyone. And I gave up meat, I gave up like everything. I went completely vegan for like a week, and then I ended up going to a brunch with my friends and I ate, I had like all the dairy products, like I had loads of dessert and everything, and maybe I think a little bit of sushi, and I felt like such a failure.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, this isn't, I don't think it's a good idea to put big restrictions on myself, especially in my, you know, history with food. So I just said, look, I'm just going to do my best. And I kind of just cut out meat completely, like, unless I'm really stuck in a situation. And I was very, I said I'd monitor myself as well and see like how I'm feeling, you know, my own health. I had a coach at the time who was advising me, you know, like, he's like, it's very difficult to keep a vegan healthy.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't want to believe that. I was trying to find...
In what sense? Just out of curiosity.
I think he meant like in terms of like vitamin deficiencies. I mean, obviously you can be a healthy vegan, but he said it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Like in that it requires a lot of supplementation, and I wouldn't be very good at taking supplements and everything.
B12 would be the one that jumps to mind, I think.
Yeah. And even things like, he was like, well, and you know that, like, obviously the ones you're taking at the moment, he's like, you can't take that one anymore because it's like the sheep casing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, like, did nothing. He's like,
And I was trace ingredients. Yeah. In certain,
and even things like, I was like, oh, I'll just obviously keep taking my omegas. He was like, that's fish oil. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, it just didn't, you know, think of everything. I was in Thailand, I didn't have any access to get new supplements either. I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep taking these. But I was training, like, my training didn't suffer. Like, I still, at the first couple of weeks I still was counting calories. So I still kind of roughly tracked, and I was like, my protein has gone to, like, there was nothing. I was maybe getting 50, 60 grams of protein on a good day.
From what sources?
Probably mostly like some tofu. I didn't really like tofu. What was I having? Not even eggs. Beans. I can't remember at the time. But then I decided to reintroduce eggs. Yeah. Just because I liked them. And it did make protein a little bit easier. And it's kind of a long, it's not even a long story, but I've kind of just been going along and I felt fine since.
Have you, since you switched vegetarian, have you noticed any impact on your training, or is it exactly the same, more or less?
See, it's really hard because there's so many variables. Like, I basically moved country again. Yeah. Like, then I went to Bali and I like changed my changing regime again. If anything, I went back to, when I started in Thailand, I was staying in this hotel with weighing scales and I hadn't weighed myself like the whole time. Then like 3 months later, went back and I was like 2.5 kilos lighter, but I felt like I wasn't as lean as I was. So I was like, did I lose a bit of muscle? But again, that could be because of the style of training. I was doing a lot more Muay Thai in Bali, maybe a lot more cardio based, like kind of CrossFit classes rather than strength. So I don't know. There's so many variables that I can't make any conclusions really. But I feel fine. Like, I feel like I'm helping a little bit, you know. As soon as I do that, like someone's, I said it, I mentioned it yesterday in my story, and you know, someone straight away sent me the stats of like the carbon footprints from airplanes and everything, and I'm like, look, I know.
It's insert eye roll here.
I know. So I try not to talk about it much. Like, the only reason it came up was because I went out for a vegan dinner the other night, and that's why someone's like, oh, I didn't know you're vegan. And, you know, so I try
it's
not to.
People's attachment to it. People, I'm going to get fucking hate for this, but vegan and CrossFit are the two I always joke on because they're very tribal. Yeah. You know,
I mean, people like to. I'm learning all about the ego and everything. It's all about, you know, finding identity, and people like doing that.
Yeah,
but I'm stuck in the middle. Because I actually, like, I met a girl who was vegan, and I ended up like telling her, she came over basically to thank me for, like, you know, reducing my meat, and I ended up telling her not to be vegan. Like, I didn't actually tell her not to be vegan. I told her not to label herself. I said, you're so young, there's no need to label what you are. I was like, if you don't want to eat meat products, don't. Like, I've had a lot of people message me like, oh, I don't eat meat, but then when I'm drunk I eat a burger, and I'm like, that's fine. Like, it's it's not a failure. It's not like
your attachment to it, you know.
You
mentioned identity there. I want to pull on that just because that's a really interesting thing, and I think that's something I can connect with. You've definitely connected with, having mentioned it, and people where you're drawing your identity to, I'm a vegan, I'm a CrossFitter, I'm a bodybuilder, I'm a bikini girl.
I still
I'm
say I'm not a CrossFitter
person.
I don't even know what I am.
But that's, you know, talk to me about, because I think it's important, maybe it's not important, people are like, what the fuck are you on about? But I think it's an important thing for me, it was anyway, when in my ability to disconnect from, and you opened the podcast with, I just don't care anymore, I don't care what people think. And I think when you're able to take yourself out that wide angle view and realize that you're attaching your identity to, you know, I am this or I am that, that makes it very easy when people attack that identity. You get confused that people aren't attacking you, they're attacking the idea.
Yeah.
And but they get wrapped up in one another, you know, the ego and everything gets wrapped in one another.
Yeah.
What started that process?
I think, like, I used to use the idea of attaching yourself to an identity as a way to, you know, get to your goals. You know, like, I used to say, okay, I'm a fitness person, and a fitness person does this. You know, a fitness person doesn't drink on a Wednesday. Yeah. You know, like, so I used to use the idea of, like, attaching yourself to an identity. Like, I was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
like, just
way
do
to
that.
Hit a goal.
But I think more, I've seen the negative effect of it more in the last year, I suppose, when I'm like, yeah, but what if I want to have a drink on a Wednesday? Maybe, you know, maybe I don't want to be, like, labelled fitness. Like, I love training, and training will always be a big part of me. But I also love food, and I like a social life. And I felt like, because of this identity that I'd given myself, that I was doing something wrong by doing something different. And that's why I didn't want to identify as a vegan or a vegetarian. Like, I was at a wedding last night. Like, if I had sushi last night, like, I don't see that as a failure, but that's because I'm not labeling anything. I'm not identifying with any, I don't know, diet way of eating or nutritional labels.
How did you bridge that gap? How did you go from, because I'm curious, because I think everyone's journey, for me, it was a case of reading, like, you know, I put up I shouldn't have put this on my story the last day, but I put up different books that I bought. Two of them were, one was an investing book, another was a book on capitalism, and another was the Communist Manifesto. They're like, why the fuck are you buying both? And I was like, whoa. I was like, because I like to have
context.
Context, you know, I'm like, and I also like the extremes, because when you hear the extremes on both sides, you're like, okay, you know, there's good on both, you know, that you make your own opinion on it. So that's how I bridge the gap.
Very similar. I was listening to a book called Just Eat It. Have you heard of it? Have you read it?
It's on my. It came up on my.
Yeah, and I'm actually very excited about reading it. It's all about. I thought it was all about intuitive eating, and at the time, that's when I was just starting. I was like, I can't wait to read this, and it starts off really well, but then again, it's very extreme. It's like, it's really, really like anti-dieting or anti-eating for your health. Even like, I actually was very surprised at how I think it was. You know, to get the kind of impact, you know, hit, but at the same time, I was reading How Not to Die, which I didn't. I don't know if you've read that
one.
Yeah,
I've read that one. Yeah.
And that was very extreme. That was like...
you will die if you eat meat. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of... And he was talking about how, you know, like even like things like, you know, your spinach is going to save you. And she's talking about how like people who eat kale are assholes.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle going like, I need to figure out what I am. But I think it's actually very good at the same time to listen to both. Because if you listen to one book, especially if it's How Not to Die, when you see like, oh my God, a doctor wrote this. This must be true.
Yeah.
But I think I listen to everything with a skeptical ear. And that's one of the reasons. Like, I really wanted to find proof that, like, the vegan diet would be. I wanted to find scientific proof that I could show to someone if they said, like, why are you going vegan? And I honestly just couldn't find anything that wasn't anecdotal or pulling on emotions or even, like, because people, when I talked about cutting out meat, like, people were mailing me, going, oh, my God, that's deadly to hear that. You have to watch What the Health. Yeah. And I'm like, I've watched that. I still disagree with it, you know. So, and I think everything in life, it's about being really aware and having context behind everything. That's what I love to read. I love to read completely different things. And I love to see, with any conflict I see, like I try and look at anything from everyone's point of view and try and take your own ego out of it, your own identity, and see what this person's thinking, what's this person's thinking. And sometimes I'm in that in the third person, where I'm looking at the conflict between me and someone else, and I'm like, what would a third person see here?
Yeah.
And I just think that is the key to having a content mind, is just looking for context and everything, being really aware of your own thoughts, what's causing it. So I journal every morning. You know, it's if I could just get everyone to be aware, I think we'd all be a little bit happier.
Yeah, I think that, and that awareness comes from a disconnection from self, a disconnection from ego and identity, and trying to disconfirm your best loved ideas, you know?
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to confirmation bias, where you're I had my mastermind group last week, and I was telling them about CBD oil, which I'm a huge fan of personally, anecdotally, it's been amazing for me. And I was like, you know, from your Google search, what you want confirmed.
Yeah.
Was one of the girls that's in my mastermind was saying, oh, I Googled CBD oil. I was like, what did you Google? She goes, I said, I bet you Googled what are the benefits. She goes, yeah, how did you know? I was like, because you're looking for confirming evidence.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the same way as if you go, what are the negatives? You're going to get confirming evidence.
Yeah.
You know, and when you go into ideas, well, how can I disconfirm my belief? It allows you to disconnect and detach from it, which, as you said, allows you to make better decisions. I love that.
Yeah.
When you're looking at a conversation with you and somebody else, take yourself out of it.
Mm.
How would I... You know, what would somebody objective say?
Yeah,
you
know? And that's what I'm fascinated by, psychology now. And it's funny, I actually had a conversation recently about with someone talking about, you know, one diet for health, and I was like, you know, if you Googled any diet, you'll find like that will be, you know, like plant based. You can find that's the solution to everything online.
Yeah.
But then someone was talking about like the carnivore diet for a solution for something. And I was like, it's so funny because it's polar opposite.
Yeah.
But you will find, if you're looking for those, someone to confirm that, like.
They'll confirm it.
Yeah. And I mean, I find that on Instagram, and I don't know if it's, you know, your confirmation bias is everywhere. And I don't know if it's intentional that I'm going to look for it, or you see it more because you are looking for it. And it's just everywhere. I mean, I used to think bodybuilding was the only thing. And now I'm looking back going, God, I can't believe I thought that was the only way.
Yeah.
And I can understand when people are annoyed at me for coming out against it.
Yeah.
But I can stand back and go, like, I get it. Like, if that was me in that situation, when you're in the peak of prep and someone is bad-mouthing it, you're going to be angry at them. So I'm not angry. When someone's angry at me, I'm not angry at them for being. I understand why they're angry.
Yeah.
I try and be rational and everything. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm going off on such a tangent.
100%. But I think that's really, really valuable because I know I've done that. And a question I frequently ask on the podcast is, how do you deal with negativity? You know, either people ask me when I'm a guest on, or I ask people when they're on. It's like, you get some form of that answer. It's like understanding that people project their stuff onto you, you know, and if your identity is wrapped, because I do want to talk on this, because when I put up a question on Instagram stories. They're like, anything for Siobhan, pop it in. So I got a couple of people asking about, you know, regretting bikini. Why do you slate it now? What are your thoughts on it? Variations of that. So we'll stay on that topic for a minute. But I think you're one of the best people to speak on it because you've lived it. You've been on one side, you've been through it. You can offer an opinion on someone that's been through it, but you're also able to disconnect and realize that if somebody else is attached to that identity of being a bikini girl or a bodybuilder or a physique guy, it's somebody slating it. Firstly, they're not, Siobhan's not slating you. She's slating the thing. But when your identity is wrapped up in the thing, you and I've done this in the past, you know, I've literally had the same identity wrap. And when somebody questions my method of training or method of nutrition, I'm like, oh, fuck you. Like, you know, where I realize it's like, they're not attacking you. They're attacking your idea. Stop wrapping yourself with your idea. They're two different things. What do you, talk to me about that a little bit, about the bikini, like, your thoughts on it now.
Yeah, like, I think the important thing is that I try and put as much context, like, if ever I come out, I think recently, I don't know when it was, I had put on my story just a quick, it was a picture of me when I was shredded, and I was like, it came up as a memory, and I just said, oh, I can't believe I thought I was fat then, and then, like, tiny little thing in the corner was like, by the way, if you're going to compete, don't do it. Right? So, and that was then taken. I can't even remember. Someone, and like, they don't even tag me in it. Like, everyone like starts giving out about me, and then people tag me and like, did you see this? And I'd like if people to tag me, because I'd be happy to discuss why I'm saying this.
Yeah.
Like, I remember just before I started my competition prep, I remember there was a documentary on RTE slating bodybuilding. And I can't remember, but Vogue Williams was the presenter. And I remember having, like, being personally offended by her.
Visceral.
Unfollowing her on Twitter. Yeah, like, even though, and now I'm looking back going, like, that was so ridiculous. And I love being able to see my own mind changing, you know. But when you're in it, and when you're, I was confident what I was doing was right and was interesting, was what I wanted to do at the time. I gathered so many followers at the time because people saw the physical transformation. Mm. And I also was trying to prove, my thing was actually at the time, my goal was to prove that you could do a bikini competition healthily and that, you know, you can still enjoy your life if you're, you know, prepared. And I did that. Like, I had a great prep. And then it was just afterwards that I suffered a lot in terms of body image and my relationship with food. And I found it difficult to share that when I was supposed to be the person, like, again, the identity that I had at the time was that I was this disciplined, shredded, I don't know, just loved to train. Like, I'd always liked food, you know, like, I always kind of had that little bit of an identity as well, that, like, Nutella and salt and vinegar Pringles were, like, my thing.
Yeah.
So I actually kept like, binging on those two things. It was a tough time, because it's only definitely when you step back or step forward when I can see that how my mind wasn't working optimally at the time. Like, I just think I was focused on aesthetics. I was focused on, you know, getting the Instagram likes. I knew what would do well on Instagram in terms of likes. You know, it was when you have that transformation picture.
Mm.
And all of a sudden I was like, God, I'm creeping back up to be more similar to the original photo than the shredded photo. And it was so hard trying to get my thoughts out without saying, oh my God, I'm fat. Because half my head was like, I know I'm not fat. But then the other head was like, I feel fat.
Yeah, emotionally it's different.
And it was, getting that message out to females. And I was trying to say, like, gaining weight is cool. Or not, you know, like, that is a hashtag, gaining weight is cool. But, like, or gaining weight is okay. Or, you know, I'm like, look how much fun I'm having.
Yeah.
But I was still on edge about it. And what would be, like, 2 years later now, I think I genuinely am, like, it's okay to put on weight. And I believe it myself.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, yeah, I'll always love training, but I love food and I love drinking. And, well, sometimes I love drinking. But I also do love the discipline of training well and, you know, eating well and eating for health. And it turns out when you do eat for health and train because you love training, you do get into, like, a shape that you're happy with.
Yeah.
But to be honest, if you told me I'd be this size or this measurements 2 years ago, I would have been like, oh my God, what a failure.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like, no, I'm happy where I am because it's a result of me making all these life decisions and I'm happy with it. I'm happy with in my day-to-day life. Like, I think too many people are focused on a measurement that they want to be or a weight they want to be, without looking at what that entails to the rest of their life. you know, like people are, you know, rushing to the gym after work when really, maybe if they spend some time with their kids, it might make them happier overall.
You're filling a void. I've done that in the past. You're either plastering over a cut or filling a void with the gym or exercise for another area of your life that you're not particularly satisfied in. I've done that. And I think catching it is very important. You know, danger's in the dose. 40 minutes, 50 minutes of exercise every day, 4 or 5 times a week, probably going to benefit you. You'll feel great, your energy levels will be better. But 4 hours a day training, which is what I did, is you're escaping something. You know, you have to ask yourself, are you putting a Band-Aid over a bleeding wound here?
Yeah.
And you're just numbing out.
I mean, at the moment, I train a lot, but I'm trying to say to people, like, you don't need to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I train because I've got the time. It's not adding a lot of stress onto my day. You know, if you do see me go for a second training session, it's not because I'm like, oh God, I need to train.
That how it was once upon a time? You'd eat and you're like, right, I need to train it off.
And actually, like Amanda, who coached me at the time for the competition, I remember whatever I'd eaten, I'd gone out outside of plan. And I was like, don't worry, I did. I said, I came home and I had the cross trainer in the front room. I was like, don't worry, I came home and did whatever amount of cardio. And she was like, don't do that again.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't care if your measurements were put. She's like, that is such a bad relationship to have. Like, don't do cardio to make up for food. And it's funny because half of me, that kind of numerical side is like, but it just makes sense. You know, like, if we're looking at a calorie deficit across the week, it makes sense for me to move more without realizing that by doing that, you are kind of
you're positively reinforcing that if I eat more food, it's fine. I'll just train more. And then that becomes the habit that you reinforce.
Yeah. So it's, that's a debate I normally have with myself where, as I said, I'm looking at numbers now, but trying to also consider the psychological side of it.
Yeah.
You know, it is, because it is a numbers game, but then you have to look at, like if you do have a blowout and then you restrict your calories too much so that you stay in the same calorie deficit, you're looking at psychological and physiological issues. Like if you're underfeeding, if you're, if you're saving a load of calorie stuff, alcohol at the weekend, realistically, you're depriving your body of nutrients.
Yeah.
I'm kind of realizing that now. I could have had, a couple of pieces of fruit for those couple of glasses of Prosecco. But I mean,
But then the trade-off on other things, and the balance, because you're if you're out with friends, there's a chance that you've potentially strengthened those personal connections with those people. And then there's, and I'm a fitness person, nutrition person, have nutrient-dense foods. But, social connections are nearly as important for overall well-being and health, unless you're trying to step on stage, where that's where we spoke earlier with health and fitness splits, like you're not worried about health, then you're worrying about being as lean as you can. What advice
but for so long? Sorry, I'm going to just grab that because that's something I realized that for so long, my goal was to get leaner, regardless of health or anything. Like I remember I used to give out so much about the greens, please, being at me, because I used to always put up my, I was so obsessed with calories and macros. I was like, okay, once it fits my calories and macros, that's a healthy meal. And I just didn't like greens. So, I remember I used to put spinach on the plate just for show, just to put up the picture of my food. But I realized that I was so, like, I didn't understand why. I was like, why would anyone have like a raw Snickers instead of a real Snickers?
Yeah.
You know, because I really was thought it was all about getting leaner. And that was my goal. Like, I wasn't being dishonest about it. And I was helping people who had similar goals. But now I'm trying to, like, I'm definitely more aware of the health side of it myself. And I've seen, I think the benefits of eating healthier, you've got the energy to train more, you're able to recover better. I mean, all the obvious things that I was ignoring, I've since changed my attitude on that. But it's so funny. I was so, what's the word, blindsided on one goal that I didn't care about anything else. And I see people now that are doing that and, that are just, filling their macros with crap food. And they think, but I'm getting leaner. And I'm like, but help.
Yeah.
But I don't say anything because I know that if someone said that to me at that time, you're not willing to listen.
Well, it also, and this is something that I've had to make peace with over, the last few years, and I'm sure you're the same, but, social media presence is, okay, what's your goal? Because yeah. I'm like, well, if you don't care about health, you know, I always get the cans of Monster, protein bars, you know, food that's kind of devoid of nutrients. I'm like, well, if you don't care about health, I'm like, yeah, put those in. I was like, you will get in great shape with 7 cans of Monster and 6 protein bars if it's in a calorie deficit, if you're doing the right training program and you don't care about energy levels and health, then 100% go for it. You know, it's just realize that you're making a choice and that fitness and health aren't the same thing.
Yeah. That being lean and healthy are not... Like, I feel like now with a few more kilos on me, I'm so much healthier, but then I don't look as fit. Like, I feel like as soon as I get leaner, people will come to me for nutrition advice.
Yeah.
It's like they don't trust me if I put on weight. Yeah.
Ironically, because you know. Because you've been through, it's actually better having the opinion, you know, you've been through it all now.
Yeah, I feel like I can help people a lot more now because I've been lean. I've been that person who was so desperate to lose weight. And like, I think I can help people get through to, as I say, like help people fix their relationship with their bodies rather than just fix their bodies.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to study psychology next, because I just think like fitness is like getting lean is easy. It's simple.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, but it's not easy. And that's why there's like how many million or billion dollar fitness, what's it called, business. But I think I just want to help people be happier overall. Yeah. And if that means, losing a couple of pounds, enjoying their training, that's fine. But I just think there's too many people who are taking it too extreme without looking at the bigger picture. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
does that make sense? Yeah, I just tried to get it.
I totally get it. And again, we've been on very similar journeys, you know, slightly different in terms of obviously, you know, bikini competitor compared to bodybuilding. But it's the same idea in terms of you get so focused on a goal, tunnel visioned, you get confused between the difference between health and fitness. And then you come out the other side and go, oh, I was actually really, for me, I was really unhappy when I looked that way. Why was I unhappy? It was not because I looked a certain way. It's because I'd lost connections in all these other areas of my life. Yeah. Like, well, okay, let's try and reconnect.
Have you read Lost Connections yet?
It's amazing. He's actually coming on the podcast in the summer.
Stop.
I probably shouldn't say that because I'm not supposed to say future podcasts.
I'm always raving about that book.
One of the best books
twice,
I've read this year.
And I just bought it. I've listened to it twice and I've bought it on hard copy because I'm just... And it's great. You know, so many people are now tagging me in it. Like, they're reading it. I'm like, this is what we need.
Yeah, Johan Hari, Lost Connections, for anybody that's like, what the fuck is it? It's like, that's the title.
Lost Connections, yeah. And I think anyone that reads it is just like, oh, yeah.
It's the best book I've read this year.
Yeah.
It's staying on the topic of books. Any other ones jump out in mind that you're like, oh, I love that?
I've, like...
Because you read a lot.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with books. Like, I have too many books. Like, and it's great. I've actually used, like, affiliate links to the book depository. Now.
That's
like,
a great idea. You set
that
up.
Right now. It's very easy to do. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, am I getting paid to read?
This is amazing.
I mean, you don't get much commission on a book from the book depository.
Yeah. 5% of a 10-euro book.
It's exactly. I love the hard copy books. I mean, I'm always trying to educate myself. So like any time I'm like walking or washing dishes, anything, I'm listening to either books. I listen to books more than podcasts because I think, I mean, there's some podcasts, if someone recommends it to me, I will listen to it. But I just feel like with a book, you're getting it very concise and that's what you want. You just want like exactly what you need to learn. Because I'm nearly panicking about time. Like I don't watch TV or, you know, like I just don't really have that downtime where I don't know, I'm always on the go. Anyway, books. The Power of Now, that was one that I always felt was very deep, very changing. But at the same time, I'm kind of hesitant to recommend it all the time because I think you need to be in the right place. I just don't think it's like a beginner to pick it up and read it. I think Lost Connections is very good for anyone to pick up.
I agree. I think you'd recommend that to nearly anybody.
But The Power Now did affect me so much. I was kind of like, I do want to recommend it. But only the other day, I started A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And I'm only on the third chapter and I'm like, this is a game changer. They're highlighting, I'm going to get done for
physically
copyright.
Physically reading, obviously.
Yeah. And that's what I love. Like, I just... And finally, my friend, like, Sinead, I don't know, Sinead Hegarty, good friend of mine. And, like, she just came and stayed with me at the weekend. And we're like, do you want to just read all weekend? And we're, like, going out for coffee and reading. And I'm like, don't talk to me. And it's crazy. It's good to have someone who gets that. Like, I'm like, you're going to love this book. And she's like, stop making me jealous. So A New Earth, I'm 3 chapters in and I'm It's like the power now, but a lot more digestible, a lot easier to, it's a lot easier to apply.
Would you recommend reading, even, I know you're only a few chapters, yeah, would you recommend reading that one first?
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. And Oprah then has a podcast with Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
Each chapter is broken down. Like they've been a podcast for each chapter. So yeah, the idea that you read a chapter, then you listen to the podcast.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, I'm in my element. I'm like, I'm getting so excited. I'm such a nerd, but I love it. And it's just walking around the city. It's because I always think when I read these kind of things and listen to them in Asia, it's like, yeah, you know, everything makes sense because you're doing yoga and you're in rice fields and it's easy to be, you know, aware and conscious and everything. But it's actually, it's even more important to do it when you're in Dublin or in a big city or living a very busy, crazy life. I think it's even more important to have that awareness. And yeah, so I'm loving walking around Dublin and listening to this and just being like at peace. And so, yeah, A New Earth, that's one book. Oh, there's so many that... Like I have a highlight on my Instagram because I listened to Atomic Habits.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Have you read that one yet, James Clear?
I couldn't. I've read so many books on habits.
Yeah, that was my thought as well. Yeah. But and then do you have a person who when they recommend a book you're like, right, that
yeah,
I have
and that's
to,
why I did. Paul Dermody recommended that, and now you have. I'm like, fuck, I must give it another go.
It's actually because again, like someone, I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it. You know, habits, you do them. You know, but I listened to that because that one was when I got on Audible because I was like, I'll fly through that. You know,
yeah,
and
I think
now
you read it as well, which I love. I love when the author reads the books.
It made me go and buy a hard copy. I was like, there were so many nuggets that, you know, when you're like, oh, I need to write that down.
Yeah, yeah.
There were so many good nuggets of information. I was like, I'm just going to buy the hard copy just so I can highlight bits and even share it. It'll just give me ideas for content as well because it's really, really good. Oprah?
I'm a massive Oprah fan.
What like I know I, for sure.
Yeah.
It's such a nice, it's again, a place where you can start. Like, you know, it's a really simple book, but it's, it's really just, and I really think it's good for women, again, who are
I assume you're familiar with her story, her background, her story.
Yeah, like she's...
unbelievable. Yeah. I literally, in my new book coming out before Christmas, I have a section in there about Oprah, about like using your story to propel you forward.
Yeah.
Fucking complete spoiler for anyone. But it's talking about, because for those of you unfamiliar, you know, she was raped and abused by her uncles, by her cousins at 9, 14. She got pregnant by, I think it was one of her uncles, lost the baby, tried to commit suicide. And now she's like one of the most inspiring
she's
people
amazing.
On the planet. I'm like, don't let your story hold you back. Use your struggles to make yourself stronger and then reach back and serve and help people.
And do you know what? I have to admit, like, I would have thought, oh, well, Oprah, of course, she's going to, like, she's all the money in the world. Like, you know, I think that's what a lot of people think is that, like, oh, it's easy to be, you know, happy when you've got loads of money. But, her book, you know, for what I know for sure, is just, it's just so nice. It's still bite-sized things about, like, what she knows for sure and what she's learned over life, and it's so nice even in terms of like diet and training. Like she's like, I love my chocolate, like I love having a bit of chocolate, and sometimes chocolate is better than, you know, your chicken and broccoli and so I actually read a page of that, or like just a little chapter of that a day, which is only like 2 or 3 pages, and it's just so nice. Like I wake up in the morning and I write in my journal. I read a page of the Daily Stoic, like Stoicism.
It's a great book, Ryan Holiday.
Yeah, just read a bit, or a page of that.
Do you have the journal, the Daily Stoic journal?
No, considering. I don't know.
It's quite good. It's linked in with the messages of the day on the Daily Stoic.
Yeah.
For those of you unfamiliar, the Daily Stoic is a book by Ryan Holiday, which is literally just a quote from Epictetus or Seneca or Marcus Aurelius or some famous Stoic, and then in the interpretation down below on what it means. And then the journal is like a separate physical book that gives questions that make you think about that, you know, whatever the message was for that day.
Yeah.
I tend to
just scribble in it. Like I do kind of write my own, like, or relate it to my own life or whatever. I do kind of just do that in it. And then I write in my journal and then I try and read for, I'd say like 10 pages or 20 minutes, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you've got like, I've got these pile of books, like I have to stop. I have more books than I have clothes. And I live in a suitcase and I keep buying hard copy books. And I just love it. Like, because that's a time where I'm switched off from my phone, from everything. I just love scribbling on it and highlighting bits. And I just read for 20 minutes. But I find it very hard at any other time of the day to read. I find it hard then, once I do have my phone going, to switch off again.
Do you have a protocol for your phone? What times where you don't use it?
Yeah, well, like, I have a time where I'm like, okay, I do DMs. Well, that's normally when I'm trying. I try and do it like when I'm walking somewhere, when I'm doing something else, because it always just feels like such a, not a waste of time, but
you know. The dead time, yeah.
Yeah, so I do that when I'm doing something else. And then I have time for emails. And then, like, I mean, if I have a lot of work to do, I do like 25 minutes work, 5 minutes of catching up on the phone, and yeah. then 25 minutes, and then it's airplane mode while I'm doing something. But I'm so bad at writing back to people.
Yeah.
Unless they're like in that, if you don't get me in that DM hour, it'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, and the same. Yeah.
And then WhatsApps. I mean, I'm terrible.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like everyone like, how are you? I'm like, did you not just watch my story? And then I'm like, no, you need to work on your life connection.
The real connections with
yeah.
real physical people.
Yeah, no, I'm not a very, like at the moment, I'm kind of trying to get into a better routine. I'm doing online courses and I'm getting ready to do another degree. So I need to.
What's the story with the degree? Is it back here or are you going to do it online?
I'm going to do it online. It's a degree in psychology.
Yeah.
And it's more like,
is
it's
that
not
to facilitate
like,
your lifestyle so you can still travel while you do it? Is that the reason
yeah.
for online?
I mean, I've wanted to study something else for ages. You know, mm-hmm. I did a degree in maths before, but purely because I thought actuary was the highest paid job in Ireland, and that's why I just started to study maths. Mm-hmm. But now it's because it's from a deep fascination in psychology.
Yeah.
So even when I was trying to decide in the last year or two what to study, I was like, I'm going to do psychology. And someone was like, why don't you just read a couple of books on it first?
Yeah.
Instead of jumping into a course, and because I had loads of different ideas, like I want to do strength and conditioning, I want to do, you know, nutrition, and but I've realized that again by really drilling down on my goals, it's like I want to help people be as happy as I am or be as content. And I don't know if I'm going to be a psychologist in the long run or anything like that, but if I want to do life coaching, I want to have more of a education behind it than. Like becoming a PT, you know, I just
yeah,
did a PT course.
More credibility reasons.
Yeah, and like as much as I study and learn about fitness and training, I feel like I really need to do another degree in something like that before I can, I don't know, trust in my own authority a bit more. I think that comes from social media. It comes from if I do post anything, there's people that are ready to correct me and ready to.
But the thing is, that never goes away.
I know, and yeah. I know, but I think I do doubt myself when it comes to even like nutrition. Like, I stick to my lane, you know, like I know how to help females lose weight and get stronger and enjoy their training. And I just try and stick with that. Like, I'm not talking about, like, if anyone comes to me with more like specific or they need something more specific or anything like that, I refer it on. I do find that like people, there are a lot of people who maybe follow me who are kind of like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Why does she have so much voice? And they're ready to, like, as soon as I say something wrong, swing in there. And like, I can take.
Virtue signal the shit out of it though. That's how people are though. Like,
yeah, no, but I'm happy to take any constructive criticism.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
And I have to, again, identify that my ego is probably getting, like the first thing to do is be like, why are you being so mean to me? But that comes from my own ego. But I need to. It's just that I also identify that sometimes it's those other people's ego. They're not trying to help me. They're trying to show their...
Big difference between constructive criticism and criticizing.
Yeah.
You know, just attacking you because they, for whatever reason, they believe the world should be this way and it may not, you know, overlap with whatever you just text or post.
Yeah.
You know, compared to, you know, what you put out there isn't necessarily right. Have you considered looking at it from this angle? That's big difference.
Yeah, I know. And everything I post, that's why my captions end up so long because I'm trying to put as much context in as I can. Like, there is no black and white to anything.
Yeah.
So, like, even the other day I spoke about, I was like, oh, look, my whole thing is I know there's so many girls eating such low calories.
Yeah.
And, like, there's people crying on my shoulder when I go out on a night out, like, saying, I can't lose weight. I eat this many calories. And I just can't lose weight. And I talk to them like, well, you know, how many calories? And you're going to be harsh. You're like, well, how many calories have you had today? Like, you've definitely not had to touch 1,200 if you're this drunk.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, so I said that the other day, and I know for Instagram you have to be impactful. So I was like, if you're eating 1,200 calories and not losing weight, you're lying. Like, I came up with that.
Like, take responsibility
for it. Yeah. So, and I had to put, like, I was like, unless, you know, you're a really small person or, you know, some other conditions, I had to put that in because, you know, someone's going, wait, there are situations. But the gist of the whole thing was just that I want people to be in a slight calorie deficit that's sustainable, that you've got energy, that you're able to enjoy your social life and all that. So that was the point of it. Like, I wasn't, and still people are like, you know, that's incorrect. And I'm like, I was like, in what way?
Yeah,
like, well, there are possibilities that you can. And I know I tried to cover that in the caption. I wasn't trying to cover every single base. You know, like, I was trying to just do it. Like, I'm trying to work ethically the whole time. And I think once I'm happy that I'm doing that in the long run, whatever I do, I know I'm doing it from a good place. that, you know, it will all work out in the end.
In the long run.
Yeah.
We are getting belts on our door here in the studio. I would love to go a little bit longer. Round three. Round 100%. Three. Yeah. We'll get on a round three. Siobhan, before we finish, tell everybody where is the best place they can find you, where they can reach out, your programs, etc. And then we'll wrap it up here a little bit shorter.
Yeah, mainly on Instagram at ofitness_ie, which I may even change to Siobhan O'Hagan, you know, because I said that identity is kind of restricting. But ofitness, I'm on Instagram. I write back to all my DMs now. So yeah, that's probably the best way.
She's on it. Siobhan, thank you so much
again. Thank you.
So that is today's episode. Ends a little bit abruptly, just because I'm like, oh, because I've totally lost track of time, which I love in interviews. I completely lost track of time, and then I heard knocking on a door. I'm like, oh, fuck, time's up. So hopefully if and when we do a round three, it will be a little bit longer. So if you've got this far, please let me know how you found the episode, and please let Siobhan know how you found the episode. So if you enjoyed it and got value from it, please tag it on your Instagram stories. Just tag Brian_Keen_fitness, my Instagram page, and tag Siobhan's page, which is ofitness. And I hope you enjoyed. This is one that I wish went a little bit longer. Next time I'm definitely going to go a bit longer. But I hope you got all the value that was in it. Thanks. A massive thank you to Siobhan. A massive thank you for all of you listening. Words. I'm stumbling over words. It's getting late. I'm stumbling over words now. Anyways, catch you all next week. Thanks for listening. Chat to you soon.